talk about Lutheran Blind Mission, but even more than that, about God's Word and how it is reaching to touch the lives of people and those who are blind and visually impaired. It's a joy to be up here. When I left St. Louis, it was 87 degrees and muggy. As soon as I got off the airplane, it was much cooler. And today is gorgeous. Oh, boy. Thank you. Thanks for the nice weather. The gospel reading talked about Jesus as the shepherd and listening to the shepherd's voice. It's a picture that he was trying to share. The voice has some unique qualities. And when a voice speaks, it evokes certain things in other people. Have you ever been at home and a loved one is late? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, where are they? And then when the door finally opens and they say, I'm home, oh, relief to hear that voice. Well, the human voice not only can make happy thoughts, but it can do other things as well. I remember when I was in fifth grade, Sunday school, word got out that our Sunday school lesson, our Sunday school class was rather rambunctious and obnoxious and noisy. My dad decided to find out how true that was, especially because he heard his son was in the middle of it all. We were so busy goofing off and having quote-unquote fun, none of us noticed my dad come in the room. Slid around back. And then I felt this hand on my shoulder, and I heard only one word, David. And with that one word, fear just filled my heart, and I knew I was in so much trouble. That's my dad's voice. I love hearing my dad's voice. Maybe I'll even be calling him up. He's 87. I thank the Lord he's still alive. It's nice to hear Mom and Dad's voice. But voices not just evoke in us, but each voice has a distinct quality in and of itself, with tone, inflection, pitch, volume, body. And that's what Jesus was trying to relate in the gospel reading, that the sheep hear his voice. It was the normal practice back then at night. Shepherds would bring sheep into a sheep pen, probably as big as this room, and the pen was made with hedges, 6-7 foot tall hedges. And all the shepherds would let their sheep be in there, and there'd be only one opening, just one door. That's why Jesus said, I am the gate. And at least one or two shepherds would sleep in the doorway, and the other one stand alert. That way wolves and lions wouldn't be able to get them. In the morning, then, the shepherd would call, come, come. And their sheep, even though there were usually a flock was 30 or so sheep, and there'd probably be 100 sheep in this pen, they would know their shepherd's voice, and they'd immediately come to him when he called. And out they would go then for grazing for the day, each sheep following his shepherd's voice. And that's what Jesus was trying to relate and share. He, the shepherd, speaks so that we might listen and follow. When people lose their sight, though, they often wonder, instead of God calling, if he's just put them out of the pen and has turned a deaf ear to them because of life's circumstances. It's hard when you lose your sight. I lost mine when I was 11, and I know all that. Before I go on, I'd like to invite Dave forward. Dave Barkhold has a very unique, I'll let him speak.
Thanks, Pastor. My name is Dave Barkhold. I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a newspaper reporter. And as a reporter, my job is to collect facts and tell a story with those facts. I'm going to share some facts with you right now, very briefly. 40 years ago, I was diagnosed with a disease, an eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa. It's an incurable, untreatable disease, and it what it basically does is it gradually causes your vision to tunnel until it entirely disappears. In recent months, I had been restricted, my driving had been restricted, and so we started preparing for the onset of this disease. I had been asymptomatic for the 40 years since my diagnosis. And so we had actually gone to, we had opened a case with the Commission for the Blind. We had called Pastor Dave about rehab services, and we had even considered moving closer to public transportation so that I could ride the bus to work after I lost my vision. Just in November, we went to the fifth doctor. The four doctors prior to this had all confirmed the diagnosis. This fifth doctor did a thorough examination of me, and at the end of it, he said, "Who told you you had RP?" And I said, "Well, you know, your four peers, the four doctors before you all had confirmed that." He said, "No, you don't." He said, "You know, there is no indication. Your vision is good. There's no indication. RP is very obvious to a physician because there's pigment change, color change in your retina." He said, "It's not there anymore." And we were elated. My wife was in the room, and obviously I'd lived with this for 40 years. And we got silly and everything like that. But since then, you know, it caused me to stop and consider, why me? Why was I healed? There's no doubt in my mind that God healed. It's incurable. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know why God healed me, but I do know that he has a plan for me. And his plan for me was that I would not go blind, that, you know, we've adopted a couple of girls. You know, we're active in missions in Haiti and Nicaragua. And all I know is I've been praying and listening for his voice to tell me what, you know, what he wants me to do with the, you know, gift that he's given me, the additional gift that he's given me. So I just want to encourage you, you know, one of the things that happened to me right before, the week before I went to the doctor, this fifth doctor, I was in a prayer group, and the men, I had never revealed to them that I had this disease. And we were actually reading John 9, in which the story in which he healed the blind man. And after I revealed to them what had happened to me, they came over and prayed over me. And my wife told me that this whole time she's been praying, not that I be healed, but that whatever God's plan was for me, that it would glorify him. Those are the facts. Thank you.
God is active and alive in the world. He does do marvelous things, even as Dave testified. A lot of people don't wonder about that. Dave is only one out of 12 million who have eye trouble. And God chose to give Dave back his sight. The other 11,990,000, he is not. And for those who don't have sight, they struggle and wonder. Why? Darla lost her sight. She was driving on a motorcycle behind her husband. A beautiful day, not rainy, but a sunny day. Temperature like this a couple years ago. And the back tire blew out. They were both thrown. Though wearing helmets, she was knocked unconscious. A week later when she woke up, the doctor said, "You're going to be okay, except you'll be blind." In the accident, it blinded her. She's 44 years old. Common. Of the 12 million who lose their sight, half are under 65 years of age, just like Darla. Only 1% of the 12 million are under 18. It happens now between age 20 and 65. illness, accidents, diseases. Darla was a Christian. She came back to church, and she said, I can't see. Where did God go? I can't see to sing. I can't see. I don't know if you have stained glass windows. I am totally blind. Can't see the stained glass windows. Can't see the pastor. I can't see the robes. I can't see the hymnal. I can't see the Bible. Where did God go? And she shrunk back. Even though she was a Christian, she doubted because of life's circumstances. That's how it is with so many people. I don't want to overwhelm you with numbers, so the only other number I'll give you besides the 12 million in the United States, that's 4% of the population, 95% are unchurched. Do not come to church because they think God has up and left them, just like Darla thought. On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene, sad, went to the tomb. Went to the tomb to give her last respects, place some perfume and spices at the feet of Jesus. And the tomb, the stone was gone. It was empty. She saw a man, thought it was the gardener. Where have you laid him? And it was his voice. Mary. It was his voice and her name that made her understand and believe that he was alive. And so Jesus continues to come to each of us, speaking our name to say, I love you and I forgive you. His voice has not gone silent. He speaks to us in so many ways. But sometimes we're just clouded by circumstances, even as Mary was by her grief and anguish. She didn't recognize Jesus. So it is with people who are blind. They don't always recognize Jesus, but the voice is there. Now, how about you today? I bet you're going through some struggles, maybe. Are we hearing the voice of Jesus? Or so caught up and struggling with our circumstances that we don't hear his call to come and follow, follow where he leads. His voice speaks in his word. His voice speaks through baptism, saying, I love you and forgive you. For baptism isn't something we do. It's what God does. He gives us his name, just as in an adoption of a child, as Dave mentioned, is adopted two children. They gave their name. So God in baptism gives us his name and reputation. And all that goes with that. And that's why we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as Psalm 23 says, because we go to our Father's house, because with his name comes everything. God speaks to us through Holy Communion, saying, I love you and forgive you, connecting himself with that. That's what Lutheran Blind Mission seeks to share and show and demonstrate, so that people who are blind, overwhelmed at first by circumstances, might hear his voice. That's why I showed the Braille. Many times it starts with Braille as we send it to people. I remember Jim called me up one day, and I get calls from Jim now on a regular basis. He's in Florida. He's called me up and said, thanks for the Braille. And then about a year later, he called up and said, my dad's not here so I can talk more freely. He said, my dad's a private eye for the mafia. He said, if I ever try to leave the house, he's 30 years old, blind. He said, if I ever try to leave the house, my dad said he's going to hunt me down and kill me because I know too much. I'm scared. But your Braille keeps coming. Dad doesn't know what it is. And I can read it and know that God, even in the midst of my fear, is present to take away that fear. Say, I love you and forgive you. That's our Braille. But we also now do the outreach centers. In outreach center, we know that most blind people are overwhelmed, like Darla, who I mentioned with the motorcycle, overwhelmed. We go after them. So we have a meal connected with the church, invite people like Darla and others to come to the meal. We have a simple devotion, but then we let them have fellowship time, learn how from other people who are blind, what it's like to live and what some of the tricks and the trades are. Just that time of fellowship, because they so often get isolated. And so Darla connected with the outreach center. And she started to learn that though she couldn't see God anymore, he can become very alive and real through her other senses. and we were helping her to learn that God is there for her. We have 60 of these centers, and we're looking to add more. And that's part of the reason I'm here, is to challenge you as a congregation to think about maybe doing it here, because we know already of dozens and dozens of people who are blind in the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti area. Takes a few people, 5 to 10 of a congregation willing to do some little bit of volunteer help. We come alongside and train so that it isn't that we're just sending you off to do it, but we help you and connect you so that then we can connect other blind people to still more, so that they might hear God's voice. Before I close, stop and think again about your week ahead of you. Where are you going to be this week? Because it's not just, and it is about doing something special as a congregation reaching out. It is about mission work elsewhere, getting God's voice out. But it's also this text, this gospel reading, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And when his sheep hear his voice, they don't follow the false shepherds. They follow him. What's Jesus' voice saying to you today? How about for this week? I'll be getting back on an airplane, heading back home. Can't wait to see who I sit next to be able to share. Had a fun time chatting with Rochelle, who lives in New Orleans. Got a chance to share not only my faith, but how Jesus makes a difference in the lives of people. She was intrigued to hear it. Gave her my card so we may stay in contact. What about you? What people will you be in contact with this week? At school? At work? Wherever? For you see, the only way the shepherd's voice can be heard by people out there is if you and I, God's people, are here and strengthened and encouraged to know that he is with us no matter what happens, and then speak it out there. That's how the first century Christians managed. Think about that. I mean, we heard from the Acts of the Apostles this morning. Have you ever stopped to think about those first century Christians? They went out and they spoke. And what did they get for it? Thanks? Praise? Honor? They were beaten. They were cut by the sword. They were sold into slavery, tossed to the lions for jest and fun. But did they stop sharing their faith? Not at all. Because they understood life, real life, is more than circumstances, what we wear, what we eat, what we drink, what we do. Those are only circumstances. They come and go. Life, real life, is knowing Jesus. And he's with us now, lifting us above our circumstances, giving us the sure and certain hope of eternity. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I'd like to close by asking Aaron to step forward. Aaron has just a short word to say, as well as then to share on some music piece on the piano. Aaron is one of those few Christians who is blind, who hears the voice of Jesus and is followed. Aaron, I'm right here if you want the microphone.
Thank you.
And I'm going to step away.
All right, thank you. Hello, my name is Aaron Weaver. I'd like to start by saying, the Lord giveth and he taketh away. I was born in 1989. I was born drug addicted, and I was immediately adopted. So from that time, we noticed that my vision was diminished. And we came to the realization that I am visually impaired. I have a disease, what is called rubella retinitis or rubella retinopathy. And what that means is that my mother contracted the measles virus, or that I had come in contact with the measles virus and then gotten a measles shot. So what happened was the measles virus attacked my eyes. I have grown up always wondering, you know, why me, you know, throughout, you know, the natural things that children ask, you know, why did this happen, why, you know. But I have come to realize that the Lord gives gifts the Lord gives to his children. I have been blessed with the talent of playing music. It is one of my passions. I have been blessed with so many things, a wonderful adoptive family who has cared for me and loved me and raised me. And just recently, over the past couple weeks, I have gotten in contact with my biological family, my biological mother, who I is the most upstanding woman, who bore me into this world drug addicted, has now come to be clean, is now a Christian, and she is here today with my sister-in-law. And I give so much thanks to the Lord. What I honestly can say is that I am very grateful. The pieces of music I'm going to play, I'm actually going to play two. I'm going to play one on flute and one on piano. I picked especially for today. The first one I'm going to play is called How Beautiful. It is to, it says, how beautiful is the body of Christ that we can meet together and that we can worship the Lord. And the second one that I will play on flute is called Fairest Lord Jesus, and a lot of you have probably grown up hearing it, but it says how it describes Jesus as pure and bright and holy in our hope and salvation. So those are the two pieces I will be playing for you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing in music, in word, and testimony. We are a congregation that knows the power of God to heal. A lot of people that have been healed supernaturally here, and it's wonderful to celebrate that gift that God has given. But for those that are not healed that way, to experience Aaron's playing and the gift that God has given to him is fabulous. So thank you so much for sharing. And for Pastor Andres and for all the ministry that goes on with Lutheran Blind Mission, we are so thankful that Joanne was able to coordinate all this to bring you here to be with us today. Thank you so much for sharing the voice of the shepherd. All right, at this time we'll stand as we take a moment to welcome each other.